Each week at BNI for Success, we'll talk about referral networking that works. We'll discuss networking tips, strategies, and action steps that are designed to help entrepreneurs and businesses work together to create quality referral business and explore new opportunities.
Hello, everybody. We're coming at you live from Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas. We've been poking around and giving it a look-see as we get ready for BNI's U.S. and Canada National Conference, which is coming up April 30th through May 2nd. And the reason we arrived late last night is because tomorrow, January 5th, is the cutoff for the early bird rate. So we wanted to make sure that we had an opportunity to see it and tell people what it was all about. I'm Cee Spronner. I'm the founder of Action Steps for Success, and I'm also BNI Executive Director here in the greater Los Angeles area. Well, not here. I'm in Vegas now. It also means I have the honor of meeting and speaking with a lot of great people from all sorts of entrepreneurial backgrounds and philosophies. To me, this world of professional networking is pretty dynamic, and the maxim of networking upholds immense significance. And if you're looking to truly, I mean truly, make the most out of your BNI membership, it's crucial to not only connect with peers, but to seek opportunities to engage with folks who are a step or two ahead of their professional journey. And what I really want to do right now is stop what I'm talking about and talk about the format of this particular BNI Decoded session, in case you've never been here before. And I do see a new face or two. This BNI Decoded is an opportunity for us to really dive deep into the topics that are not in the manual. They're not happening at leadership roundtables. Rarely there's a podcast about it, because podcasts are one-sided, right? So that you don't really get that, let's dive deep and talk about it. So as I go along, I might have prepared notes here, but I'm really looking to hear from you as this goes on and have a conversation doing that, right? And so the session lasts 30 minutes. I have gone on occasion to 45 minutes. That's our hard stop. Now, Dawn Brooks-Gulla just popped in. She's the one who keeps me talking, especially with Claudia as well, right? So we might end up being at 45 minutes, but this is here for you today. Let's talk more about the fuss of networking up, right? And how I really feel that this is how you keep ahead of your professional journey, to repeat myself. Last week, I had a one-to-one with a brand new member of BNI. And he's about to enter his third month of BNI membership. And his professional goal is to quickly earn the trust. In meeting this new member, I said, what is your immediate goal? If I ask you this quarter, because 2024 has just started, what's your Q1 goal? He said, I want to quickly earn the trust of our fellow members in the first quarter of the year. And this is going to be a topic for another day, by the way. And so from there, we spoke about quality over quantity when it comes to networking up, right? And I think I truly shocked him when I turned this into a conversation of looking at the ones as something for the other person. If you truly want to get the most out of your network, you need to give to your network. And let's talk about this with the mindset of your one-to-one commitments to take action. How many of you actually still do one-to-ones like you did when you were a new member, where you had, you know, the planner there and you had all the pages and it's more than just the gains profile? Be honest with me. All right. So I don't see any hands going up or anybody saying me in the chat, right? And, you know, this goal is to not just connect with the person in networking up, but to have meaningful conversation. Not just when you're meeting new people, but in our one-to-ones and we're talking about giving, what we really want to do is get into that page where you make a commitment to the other person. And so when you're doing that, you're identifying some of those key individuals in your industry or community who hold those significant influences. So will you play the game with me and pretend we're having the one-to-one? Because I can't help you network up if I don't know a little bit more about you. And we're going to jump past the games profile and we're going to go right into Let's not do all 10 of them. Could you please, let's pick on Kristen, right? Why not? Could you give me the profession, not the names, just the profession of the last two people that you had in your client base?
Absolutely. So, the last two people in my client base were a respiratory therapist and a registered nurse.
Oh, those are great examples. Thank you. So let me ask you, are those one-to-one type, one-off type clients, or are they the type clients that could be a referral hub for you that would really be a feeder to you professionally?
They are absolutely a referral hub. The two of those combined probably comprise almost 40% of our student base.
Love that. All right. Now, we're still in our one-to-one. We're talking about those 10 people on those lists, right? But it sounds to me like you have really identified who it is you want and what it is, right? And that's truly important. But if I asked you, yeah, those are good, but how could we kick that up a notch? Do you have somebody in the back of your mind, or really first and foremost, because you're not a brand new person to this conversation? Is there somebody that you said, I wish I could meet, but they're just a little bit out of my league?
So the next person that I would like to work with is the program director for the respiratory therapy program here in my city. They are going to be the person who's in contact with all of those new respiratory therapists and are all going to need my services either before they get into their schooling program or once they get out and are looking for their new position. So a program director in that kind of program would really launch us into the next layer.
Do you have a specific company or organization that they're a part of?
I do. I can provide the name and the program of the school. Yes.
Okay, so you just took me out of two questions. That's great. I love you. Thank you. All
Oh,
right. So now here's the thing that most people don't ask, because I don't know them and I want to make a commitment to help you, right? Why haven't you connected with them yet? Now, that's a pretty offensive question to ask why right in the beginning. So you might have a comfort level wording that just a little bit better, but I really want to find out. So what's stopping you?
So I have called and sent an email, but of course, with any good cold call, they are busy running their school and running their program, and they don't know me. And so I'm probably not very high on their return the message list. And so I'm using my network to find someone who is tangential, either to a network that they're in or in that school, that might be able to get me on the inside and pass that warm referral that brings my name up their list a little bit.
Okay. I think that's fabulous. I could keep playing this game, but I'm going to ask somebody here, anybody watching, not that I'm staring at Dawn, right? Just because I believe you are closer geographically than I would. What would you ask Kristen to help get past that so that you can help make that warm referral? Does anything kind of spark your mind? I mean, in a best case scenario, you're like, oh, I had dinner with them yesterday. They're on my bowling league, or we went to college together. But let's face it, you have in your chapter probably 20 or 30 people, an average size chapter, right? Who all know each other through BNI, and they're probably not getting out into bigger networks, right? They're just networking with them themselves. But I want to community outreach person. And Dawn, how would you help turn that into a warm referral for her?
She is one of my best members ever, ever, ever. I would check
Oh.
and see if the people knew anybody on LinkedIn or Facebook that was associated with that group. And if they were one of their contacts, see if they would be willing to make that introduction.
That's very good as well. I'm pausing here. I'm trying to find a nice way to talk about myself. I think that I come from a background of being tremendously shy, but somehow or other, when it's business related, I'm not so shy, which can get in my way, right? So I would ask if I could use your name. And I'd reach out to that person and say, I heard of you through Kristen, right? Are we allowed to use your full name here in the recording?
Yes, please.
Okay, so I heard of you through Kristen Siebert, who had really positive things to say about you and your organization. And I would love to have an opportunity to get together with you, either just via email, on Zoom, or you know what? Why don't we meet for coffee on Thursday, February 6th? I don't even know if that's actually a Thursday. And we could talk more about supporting each other in our organizations. That typically gets me really good results. Now, I haven't said, you're a client or any of those kind of things, but now I've made a connection for myself, and I'm able to come back to my commitment to introducing the two of you. I might even say, I'm having a cup of coffee. Do you want to come with? So after speaking to this new member about that, who was floored that I would do something like that, right? Because that's not the shy person at all. We spoke a little bit more about why I'm comfortable doing that. And we got on the topic of how many networks should you belong to? And one of the things that I hear almost always from that is, well, I joined BNI. That's my networking organization. What else do I need? I mean, let's be serious here. Didn't we say that it's a group of positive professionals who will lift each other up through word of mouth marketing, gain referrals? We did say that, right? So what else do I need? That's a really good setup for my turning this back over to you. What else do we need? How many networks should we be a part of? Claudia, how many networks are you a part of?
The main ones are PNI first, and then there is International Association of Women, and then there are a few specific like skateboarding moms, photography, a few photography specific groups, and I'm
Right.
my
So being the owner of Hoag Studios doesn't make you the be all end all of photography, right? You're not just associating with your clients, you're associating with, did you say group or groups?
There's a main photography group that is a network. There's a very strong network that we really trust each other and help each other with the, but there is also other social photography groups. Some are for women specific, some are for local, some it's so there are several photography networking groups that I'm in. I call them groups because other than the first one that I said is a very strong one, the other ones are very loosely. Sometimes they have get-togethers. The one that I have for photographers, they're very strong that we support each other and help each other. And we meet like up to 4 times a week online. And also we have a channel that is up 24/7, where we can always go and see if there's someone there to ask something, and there's always people there. That's the more strong one that is just for photographers. And then there's a bunch of other groups that are not related to photography.
Right. Well, let's stick with photography for just a second because you said something really important. You said the main one is BNI. Right. But if that is your only one, then that's finite. Right. Sure. And we always say we don't want to sell to the room. We want to sell through the room because that's another reason it's finite. If you're just making transactions and connections with the people who are already there, you're not going to grow your business much more than that. Yes, you'll have income, but we want those referrals, those outside referrals. So that also means that there's other things out there in the world than B&I that are not competitive, but they add to it. So when we talk about different types of organizations, that you should be along with, certainly an industry one is appropriate. Now, the other thing is Claudia's groups, we're going to say plural because there's all different types, might not be just photographers. They might be people who are associated with photography. They could be people who have really intense lab skills. They could be people whose only purpose it is to set up education and panels and things like that. But if you really talk about where the referrals are happening, the referrals are happening by the different aspects of the business. So I'm going to pick apart photography right now to continue with examples, if you don't mind, Claudia. Try not to laugh if I make errors. Feel free to correct me. In B&I, we have a lot of different categories. So we have a portrait photographer who is there. They're just there to do family type portraiture. We have somebody who does professional headshots, which is different, right? You're certainly not going to take your corporate headshot to the same person who's doing your event photography, your weddings, bar mitzvahs, those kind of life events. And those people are probably not doing corporate events as well, right? So everything is kind of divided up. Then when it comes to real estate, we have people who are just doing real estate photography. And within that, we have people who are documenting the architectural changes too. Are they coming in for that type purpose? We have, that right there is five alone. I could go on and on about all the different ways it's divided up. And for everybody's industry, we have the same kind of thing going on. There's different aspects to it. And I'm sure I missed. How many did I miss, Claudia? You have like numbers already?
I don't know. There's a whole lot. There's documentary, there is fashion, there is editorials,
Right. And
there's
that's all photography.
fine
We
art.
haven't even gotten into video yet. Right. So I just interrupted because I didn't want to hear how many I missed. To be perfectly honest. So that's type of it, the type of quantity we're talking about. And in networking up, sometimes it is merely reaching out to someone who is more skilled than you. It's not always a higher referral source, but somebody else that you want that introduction to as well. And those are important aspects. So let me ask you, those of you who have been in B&I more than the 3 months that this new member was at, how many different types of networks do you think you should be a part of in addition to B&I? B&I is a hard contact network. Kristen says at least five. Anyone else? We can keep shining the spotlight on her. That's okay. She seems pretty smart. So y'all seem pretty smart. I better do that right there. Which are the You are muted.
There we go. You're cut out for a minute. Can you repeat the question?
Oh, okay. So you said at least five, right? And what types are those?
So as you mentioned, certainly at least one professional network where you're with others that are in your own industry. Certainly a social one That's maybe of your own demographic. So a lot of women are in moms groups of one form or fashion or the other. But certainly, if you were part of a professional men's group or something that fits your specific demographic, maybe a certainly a religious organization or something more social in an interest or a hobby that you have. Maybe certainly your family network counts. Where most of us have at least either a chosen family or a given family, and there are always needs and referrals that can come from there. And then if you have kids or a partner's network, or again something tangential to your family, there's usually a network that you're involved with as a part of that relationship.
Absolutely. I always tease that soccer moms are like the strongest network out there. And if you don't have a kid, go get one. I was blessed with kids who wanted nothing to do with soccer, right? But that doesn't mean that those kind of networks, those team networks, should be overlooked, Dave says gamer networks.
That's right.
Right. So one of the other issues I have is I have a terrible memory with names, and I need to hear names over and over and over again. So when one of my now adult children was involved in karate, and all the parents were there, and they were all talking to Josh is raising his hand. In case you haven't gotten it, Joshua Rittenhouse is related to Dave Rittenhouse here in the room, who is definitely through marriage related to me. So. So we have all that. So all, when Josh was in there and everybody was checking in, and it would take the sensei quite some time to do this, and I had no idea who these people were, even though I'd been there way too long, I volunteered to be the check-in person. Right. So right away, I got first name and contact with everybody as they entered. I knew who the new people were versus the old people, things I wasn't able to keep straight. So I wasn't just sitting in the stands like a soccer mom might and communicating with those people. I had a purpose, and that spoke really highly close to me and my heart, because I like giving my time that way. And it also helped me in terms of communicating. So sometimes you want to say, well, is there a role that I can take? And by that, that elevates you up and you become the person they wish to network up with. And so you now have that warm introduction in a way we're talking about. And I would highly recommend that you take, when you are part of organizations, that you take a small role in some way that isn't too taxing to you. Cease was the unofficial visitor host is what it says. Absolutely. And you know why? Because I learned it in BNI. Absolutely. But here's something else that I see happen is very often, more times than I would like to admit, we have members who will say, well, I can't invite them to BNI. I can't. Why would they want to come here? And you look around the room and you have some pretty heavy hitters in the room. The best thing I ever heard, somebody walked into Claudia's chapter. I don't know if I've told you this, Claudia, but I've told this story so many times. They walked into our BNI Team Builders chapter and they went, wow. And I went, what do you mean? Have you never been to a BNI chapter? And he said, not like this. I walked into this room and it just felt like money. So, what is the caliber of the people that you have in the room, and how is it being perceived by other people? You don't know that, because that's the same room members have said to me, well, I can't invite them here. Why would they want to see that? Right. So, you can. Yeah. You just have to honor the event and the time and know when you can have that conversation. Right. Erin, I know that you're not feeling great today. Erin Eddings, Las Vegas man, but I am going to call on you. Erin has absolutely no hesitation in talking to people about BNI. Now, he's not even really a chapter member at this. Oh, actually, you are. You're a member of BNI Success Connection. I hope they forgive me for that. But he's also our director of operations and chapter placement. So Aaron moved from Los Angeles And he moved to Las Vegas and he's getting his new place together. And what happened at the mattress store? Do you want to tell this story?
Oh yeah. Thanks for the reminder. Yeah. So when I first moved out here and I was furnishing my house, I had to buy some mattresses for the bedrooms. And the man that actually sold me a couple of the mattresses for my rooms, I can't remember exactly how we got on the subject, but we started talking. And oh, he asked me what I did for a living, and I told him I worked for BNI, and he immediately was like, "Oh wow, I've heard of BNI before, and how do you like it?" So we just got in like a really detailed conversation about, what I do, and the fact that I work remotely from LA, remotely for LA from Vegas. And even though he's out here, he was saying, "Well, I want to be a part of BNI. Like, how can I do that?" And I actually connected him with Leslie, who was the executive director out here in Vegas. We made a connection, and I haven't spoken to him in quite some time. But I guess based on what Cease is talking about, it's like, yeah, it's like everywhere I go, I just end up having a casual conversation, and it always leads into, "What do you do for a living?" And then when I explain what BNI is, then they're like, "Oh wow, I might be interested in that."
So this wasn't a story to tell you that you just need to talk about BNI and you can get visitors. There actually wasn't a point to that. Well, there was a point, but it wasn't that. The point was is that in networking up from that aspect is Aaron met somebody and he helped him. And he helped him by putting him in touch with somebody at a higher executive level, right? Whether or not the You think an executive director is a higher executive thing. It is a C-suite or C-level type profession. So by helping somebody and making those introductions for them, you're assisting them to network up. You know what happens when that happens. You now have the connection of somebody who wants to help you back. This is all about giving. Overgetting, right? And utilizing our BNI skills so that you can turn back to that person and say, now that you're in connection with the person you wanted to meet, Chris, now that I've helped you get in touch with that person, what do you think I'm going to say?
I'm going to ask how I can help you. Who is it that you're looking to meet this week?
You're going to ask that, right? Exactly. Or I'm going to say, if you don't ask that, I'm not going to sit around and wait. That's not who I am. I'm like, do you think that in your connections, you know? And I would lay out that type person. What I didn't do was I didn't have the one-to-one with you and say, on that page, we make commitments together, right? And I committed to you. Who are you going to commit to right now to me? I waited. I waited until that was done. I waited till it came to fruition. It does take time, right? And then I kind of went back to, I have business needs too, in a nicer way, right? Everything we do is not just communication. That's a huge part of it, but it's about how we communicate. And we can't have deep business relationships if we don't learn how to communicate with them. And if we don't learn how to get past, well, exactly what you have. You'd sent emails, you cold called, you did this, you did all of these other things. Well, how do we get to that? And sometimes it takes another person helping them. I would love it if somebody else could share a story that has come to mind in these conversations, that's kind of on the law of the same genre, the same level. I know that as executive directors, Don and I have more stories than we need to share, but there's that. Dave, networking up, people get intimidated by the people they perceive above them. But as we need to see as people that they, I think I'm reading this incorrectly, but we need to see them as people that may need a hand. There's never a problem without offering a solution or problem. You know, Dave, I might have butchered that while I was reading the chat, but that is so true. That's exactly the story and stories that we've been telling. How are we connecting people? How are we helping them with their needs? And what's the workaround that eventually comes back to, pay it forward to assist us, right? We're not looking to be those people. I joined BNI 2 months ago, and I haven't received anything other than, small little things. 2 months is a pretty short time to really get to know someone. And if you think about it, whose credibility are you putting on the line when you make the referral? At your, some of you are pointing at yourselves. You're putting your own credibility on the line. So some of us hold back a little bit till we really, really know that it's good. And some of us hold back because we want to make the right connection. But I think hold back is something we need to take out of our mindset. I think it is really should be, how can I help you? And be honest. I don't know that person, but let me see how I can make it happen. Right. Let's go to the next slide, Dave. Now, I almost never steal content from Dr. Ivan Meisner's podcasts. We are in BNI. He is the father, the grandfather of networking. He is our founder. So I will definitely reference the skill sets I've learned in BNI. But I'm going to tell you this, even the words, how to network above your weight class. I'm going to read this right off of the screen if I can see it. Okay. And that is, because I really think that they bear repeating. One is embrace discomfort. If you're not uncomfortable connecting with someone, you're not aiming high enough. Two, don't sell to them. Nothing's going to shut down your chance for a real connection faster. Three, don't complain to them. You don't want to be remembered for complaining. Four, don't be a sycophant. It's hard to acknowledge their work. It's fine to acknowledge their work, excuse me, but don't overdo the fandom, right? Five, work within the context of the meeting. Connect what's happening at the moment, right? That's that honor the event. Six is find out what they're currently interested in. Do your homework before meeting them, or at least look them up on your phone at the event. We all have Google at our fingertips, right? Seven, add value. Offer help with someone they care about. Eight, don't assume they remember your name. They meet hundreds of people at every event. Remind them of your name and how they met you. Nine, don't sell to them. It's the biggest mistake if you're networking up, and it's worth repeating. All right. So I'm going to pick one right now. And that is don't complain to them. We had a badge in the case at BNI headquarters. Back in Upland, when you first walked in, there was this curio cabinet, very tall, right by the front door, and it had like memorabilia from the beginning. And one of them was a round one, and it said BMW, and it had the circle with the red line across it. And after a while, I went, "Well, what's that about? What do you mean, no BMWs? You got a problem with cars, right?" And they said, "Can I say this in a recording out on the web? It was way back when, and it was for no bitching, whining, or moaners." And it's just so true, right? I mean, what do you think of when you are networking with someone? Just take open networking and you say, "How was your week?" And they say, "Oh man, it is just so overwhelming. I was so this, and then that happened. And I'm not even going to be particular about any of the things." I said, "What's your gut reaction?" You're all like, "Oops," right? Don, did I miss you having your hand up?
I did a long time ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, let's go back to you. What
Was
next?
just I was going to share a piece from an article I wrote a couple of years ago for my newsletter, and it was called "The Big Question," BIG, "Before I Go."
Let's hear it.
I go, is there anything that you could use any help with this week, or any projects you've got going on that you could use some support? Before I go, what can I do to help your world be a better place? Before I go, depending on whether it's a social situation or a business situation, whether it's a family member or a friend or a stranger, but almost every conversation publicly, I say, before I go, my husband, even when we're in restaurants, will say to me, don't forget, before I go, the big question.
Oh, I love him. So I'm going to tell you how perfect the timing of that was, even though I missed you earlier, is on the don't complain to them. You need to be able, if that does happen to you in reverse, you need to be able to end that conversation on a positive note. So the before I go, even during with the BMW person, you have that opportunity to do that. And to Dawn's credit, she doesn't say, before I go, you whiny negative person. It's always good, right? Have you recovered from that yet? Okay. And it's always coming from a position of helping. And it's so important in what we do, just even in life. I mean, don't you want to live in that aspect and walk in positivity yourself? And to have the heart of a giver. Have you ever, Don, had anybody say, oh, you're doing it now? Because the response I get is sometimes people just want to be listened to. They want to be heard. And they need that. Right? And I bet at that point when we hear that, most of you will take it a step further. Yeah. Okay. But before I go, I love that. I'm going to use that from now on. It's
They've
big, BIG.
also laid out an awful lot of ways that you can help. If they've been
Right.
complaining about the kids or the husband or the school or the job or the whatever, then there's obviously lots of different ways that they need some assistance. And there's surely somebody you know in all of that who could give you the right direction, even if it's just, I really know a really great massage therapist. Would you like to meet them and take some time out to renew yourself?
Right. So I was going to give you a whole Brian Buffini story that is similar to this, and how, that don't complain paused him. I'm going to say paused him from a pretty significant referral, and then it was resolved after a conversation and he found out what he was doing. But I see that it is past our 30 minutes. We have 6 more minutes before our hard stop. And Dave had said, listen, learn, reiterate, solution. Dave, what am I supposed to do with that? Can you expand on that a bit more? And I will mute so there's no echo.
Well, it's a real simple formula that I learned from working in many years of technical support. You listen to the person, learn what they're trying to achieve, you reiterate it, and if you have an immediate solution for it, offer the solution. If not, you can tell them, give me X number of hours or X number of days and come back with the solution for them. They feel, as you were just pointing out, they feel like they were heard and you brought them some value, you brought them a benefit. And it's just 4 simple steps to really, for any, almost any situation.
Right, that's excellent. Thank you so much for that. I'd like to bounce over to work within the context of the meeting. And I quickly said, honor the event and moved on. What does that mean to you? How do you work within the context of the meeting? And it's subjective. Who's read Truth or Delusion by Dr. Ivan Meisner? Dave and Don, all the executive directors, we raise our hands. Do you remember you can network anywhere anytime, even at a funeral, truth or delusion?
Truth.
Right? And everybody said truth, right? Most people would go, uh-uh. Well, for those of you who said truth, why is it a truth to you?
There's appropriate and inappropriate, though. At my wedding reception, one of my friends that did multi-level marketing had put out flyers on all the tables at the reception for their business. And when I had the catering staff remove them, he said, "Well, why? You're the ultimate networker." And I said, "Yes, I am. And you could nicely talk to people, but you don't get to advertise at my reception unless you're going to pay for it."
Did he ask how much?
No. Mainly because my husband asked him to leave.
Did Wow. Wow. Okay, so good stories. I love that. But you're right. That we might be BNI as a hard contact networking organization where the purpose is to grow each other's business through word of mouth marketing referral process. But it doesn't mean that we are hard edge pushy people, right? We look at the skill set that goes behind growing your business in this capacity. And at no point is anybody going to grow their business by somebody coming on strong or breaking their arm type tactics, verbally, I mean. Pushing somebody into a corner and saying, "Look at my ad, look at my ad, look at my ad." So, I think it's definitely true. I think conversations come out. It certainly has for us. And admittedly, at funerals, that, so how do you know the person? What do you do? I know them through the fraternity, and then we continued on in the professional, any of that. And I've seen my own dad do this a lot. They used to belong to the 1939 Club, which was made up of survivors from the Holocaust. And my dad was a jeweler,
By
handmade.
trade.
Yeah, he'd always say, "I'm a jeweler by trade," right? And my mom would always wear special pieces whenever they went to their events. He would pieces that he had really made himself, and you couldn't find anywhere else. Just this, and I used to think it was so insincere till I joined BNI. Draping mom with this stuff that she doesn't wear any other time. And mom said, "Well, where else am I going to wear it if it's not to events?" But somebody would compliment it, the piece, and dad would walk up and talk, and she would say, "My husband made it," and he'd say, "I'm a jeweler by trade, you know." And they'd talk just a little bit about it. And he'd say, "You know what? I really want to enjoy the evening. I know you do as well. We're here at a party, or we're here at an awards thing that they're doing, whatever it was. Come by the shop." And he'd hand his card over and he said, "We can talk." And at that time, the first McDonald's, not the very first McDonald's, but the first McDonald's in the West Side area was built like three doors down from his shop. So it was like, it was an exciting thing. We could go to the McDonald's and we'll talk. So, and it was a way of having something social, make that connection and honoring the event. And we all have other stories as well. It is 12:15, and so we are at our hard stop time. I want to apologize to you for taking you right to the end and not saying thank you all for being here.
Thanks for joining us this week on BNI Podcasts for Success. Make sure to visit our website, BNI for Success, or BNIPodcastForSuccess.com, where you can subscribe to the show at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, so you'll never miss a show. Our networking success ask this week is that you tell a friend about BNI for Success.